sen.
Okay.
Okay, I think we should start this gathering here this morning because we have a few things at the beginning that we would like to do. And the first people up are ministry and personnel.
Good morning and greetings. From Ministry and Personnel. I'm Lynn Stockliffe, and I'm Chair of Ministry and Personnel, and I'd like to ask the other three members, wonderful members, to come up to help me with some of these presentations this morning. First of all, Wendy Grant and Doreen Miller and Mary Stewart. I think she's right here. As Christmas approaches, we have been busy preparing special appreciation and recognition of Knox St. Paul's Church staff. On behalf of the congregation and our team, we extend thanks and best wishes to the following people. First of all, Reverend Aaron McIntyre, who is on leave, but we will make certain that her gift and our good wishes reach her at home. Debbie Chartrand. Debbie, where are you? Debbie, our dear office administrator. She was on vacation this week, but fortunately she's here today so that we can say thank you. Rosemary Brown, our music director and wonderful organist. Dean DeRouchy, I don't think he's here right now. He's been with us for 3 short months, and we're grateful that he will continue for another year. So we'll make sure that he receives his gift as well. Bev Roy, our conscientious and hardworking bookkeeper and treasurer. Carolyn Ruda, our lay worship leader, who's been just so helpful these past months and continues to do so. Thank you so much. And Ruth Tentinga, I don't think she's here today, but she's also a lay worship leader, and we're very thankful to both of these dear people who have been helping us out. So those are the staff members. But our great appreciation goes out to 2 other people who are not actually staff, but provide essential service to this community of faith. Don Osler, our Sunday school and junior bell choir leader. Thank you, Don. And Todd Eamon, way back there at the back, but please come up, Todd. Our very reliable AV technician. Thank you to these people and to the many others who volunteer in so many ways, and there are so many of you there that we could be recognizing. Thank you so much. But we're not quite finished. Not quite finished. A while back, Doreen Miller, our dear Doreen Miller, suggested to M&P that we recognize long-serving choir members. There she is. Although we really appreciate all the choir members serving, who show up regularly for choir practices and services, we decided to honor those who have served 25 years and more, and those who have served 50 years and more. Wendy created beautifully and framed beautiful certificates. Wendy, could you just hold up one, please? We won't say who it is, but that's in silver frames for 25 years and gold frames for those who've served 50 years and more. And so, I would like to ask Doreen and Rosemary to come forward, please, to present these. 25 years and plus, Frances McCauley. And 25 years and plus, getting very close to 50, Bev Roy. Helen Spencer. 25 years and plus. That's the best. Oh, sorry, I've got a little ahead of me. Helen Spencer, 25 years plus. Shirley Wellman, also closing in, I think, on 50 years. And now to the 50 years and plus. Judy Pentinga. Oh, she's not well today, and that's too bad. But last but not least is Jack Lewis. Not only 50 years plus, his says 70 years plus. So congratulations to all.
Okay, I've been told to take a picture, so and you can get in, and Doreen.
You get in. Okay,
turn it around. Yeah. Okay. Everybody, smile.
Thank you so much for taking that picture. Congratulations to all. Please keep on singing. And Merry Christmas from M&P.
Story, Mary. You got 70 years to go.
No,
I think you love
somebody.
It's probably me.
Your course.
This makes me feel good. Good morning, everybody. My name is Melody, and I am the chair of the board. So I'm happy to see all the faces here today, and I'm asking all of you to please, please, please stay after for a very special congregational meeting. It has to do with the future of our church. The city will be here in force. I think there's 10 people coming from the city. They want to present to you a project that they've already presented to the board and the trustees. So we hope that you will all stay. We think it's very exciting, and we hope you will think so too. So, and they're also bringing coffee and Timbits, so it's a good reason to stay.
Good morning and welcome, everyone. Now back to your regular scheduled programming. Just a reminder that while Reverend Aaron is away on medical, if anyone needs pastoral care or knows someone who needs a visit, let Debbie in the office know. Today, Carolyn Ruda will be leading our worship as we celebrate the third week of Advent, Joy. Our Christmas Eve service will be December 24th at 7 p.m., so please come and join us. As always, thank you for your continuing support for the Agape Kids Community Kitchen. For December, we are collecting jam, peanut butter, and other spreads. The collection day is January 4th. Today at 3 p.m., we will be having the quiet service that's going to be a combination of Knox St. Paul's and St. John's Presbyterian. It'll be here. It's a time of reflection and relax for people who have had loss or anything that they over the year. The annual meeting is coming up, so have your report submitted to the office by January 14th. Thank you for everybody who joined us at the UCW Christmas lunch. It was a wonderful afternoon. If anybody is interested in purchasing our new hymn books, they're called Then Let Us Sing. They are available for purchase for $25. Please see Kim B or Debbie at that back table. And as we've already mentioned, we have a special congregational meeting today, so please stay after. And also the offering envelopes for 2026 are available at the back in the boxes. Thank you very much.
I want to add my welcome to everyone here this morning. This is wonderful to see everybody here on this third Sunday of Advent. It's getting closer and closer and closer. This is a Sunday of joy, and I think it was really great that we started with joy with the staff recognitions and of the choir, and it was wonderful, all of that. But we can never start our worship services without remembering and pausing to acknowledge that we are on the traditional territory of Indigenous peoples who have cared for this land for countless generations. We honor First Peoples' respect for and connection to the earth and their continued presence among us today. As settlers, we commit ourselves to ongoing journey of faith, reconciliation and peace in the spirit of right relations, and shared hope for the future. Let us work to make the promise and the challenge of truth and reconciliation real in our communities. Call to worship. Mary said, oh, introit. It wasn't on my thing. Sorry. The introit wasn't on my thing. I will shut up. Mary said, how can this be? Who am I that God should choose me?
We often say, but God, I am afraid.
Even when we are afraid, God invites us closer.
So may we trust the inviter.
May we heed God's invitation.
May we summon our courage and sing God's praise.
Let us worship our daring, inviting, calling God. Amen. God, we know that your plans for us often surpass our understanding and can seem impossible. In a world filled with our own doubts, anxieties, and a desire for control, give us the grace to imitate Mary's example of surrender and trust. May we be open to your will in our daily lives, even when it asks difficult things of us. Fill us with the light of your Holy Spirit so that we may hear your messengers and respond with a trusting heart.
Help us to joyfully bear Christ into the world through our actions, words, and
Our opening hymn this morning is To a Maid Whose Name Was Mary.
In a world full of fear, where do you see glimmers of joy? I see glimmers of joy in birthday candles and homemade cards. I see joy in the laughter of children and the delight of grandparents. I see joy in the meals around the table and in singing of Christmas songs. You are right. Even in a fearful world, joy is all around us. Today, we light the candle of joy as a reminder of this good news. May this flicker of light help us remember that even in a fearful world, joy is here, joy is real. We only have to look for it.
Thank you.
Daring God, you invite us to live into our call. You invite us to act, to serve, and to trust. Instead of responding with a resounding yes, we often hide our best face. We dig our heels in. We look for someone else to volunteer. Family of faith, no matter where your path has led you in the past, today is a new day. So join me in declaring this good news. We are known, we are forgiven, we are sent to serve. May we step forward in faith, always moving closer to God. Amen. Now, this is a usual hymn for Christmas time, but it fits in with what I'm going to talk about with all of you. Open my eyes that I may see. Ready to go to Sunday school. She can't wait. But she's going to have to wait just a little while longer. So this morning I'm going to talk to all of you because there are some boxes. There's a box for each table at the front. And so I want somebody from your table to go over and pick out a gift. No, you just pick a gift. There's only one box for each table. This is a special Sunday because we recognized the staff, but have you ever recognized yourselves? Have you ever said to yourself, yes, I am who I am and the world needs me? So in that box will be something that may help you to think about that. So if you want to open the box and pass it around so everybody has a look-see, you have to look closely. The Dollarama didn't know that they were supposed to work with me and get bigger mirrors to put inside. But what did you see inside the box? Sorry, choir. There's a mirror. I should have. Oh, I'm sorry. There's a mirror in the boxes. Eh? And so when you look inside, you see yourself. But do you really see yourself the way God sees you? He made each one of you just like he made Mary in that small village in Nazareth. And he thought that she was special, just like you folks are, that he sent an angel down and he said, I have a special job for you to do. And that's what we have here at Knox St. Paul's. We have something very important. We need to be here for this community, for Cornwall. They need us because each one of you, you looked in the box and you saw yourself. But did you see yourself as God sees you? As somebody that can help them? That somebody who can be his hands and feet here on earth? And that's what he wants. And that's why he sent the angel Gabriel to Mary, because he said, I need you. And just like he's saying to us, Cornwall needs you. So we are going to sing the rest of Open My Eyes, because Amethyst can't wait any longer.
Holy One, the story of this season is not a new one. We've heard this tale before. We've seen the activities, watched the plays, sung the songs, witnessed the children acting out the story. This season is not a new one, and yet we long to hear it as if it was. So spark our spirits awake, call forth awareness, attention, and reverence in us. Allow us to hear this ancient tale in with brand new ears and hope, we pray. Amen. Our first focus lesson is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He'll be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angels answered, The Holy Spirit will come to you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word of God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your words to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Our second focus lesson is Song of Mary. Let me sing there. Help us, as Knox St. Paul's United Church, to hear God's continuing call to us.
I'm setting you up in public ministry so that by my presence through you becomes known to all who journey to the world.
Thank you, Kim. It's easy to fall into the trap of not really listening as we hear the Christmas story read from the Gospels every year. We hear about the same characters and events surrounding the birth of Jesus. Mary, Joseph, angels, shepherds, magi, animals in a stable, and shining stars can easily begin to lose their significance. In part, this might happen because our thoughts are fixed on Jesus and his birth, which is a good thing, since He, as they say, is the reason for the season. But it's possible that we are missing important aspects of Jesus' story by overlooking the surrounding characters, like Mary. Who was Mary? Mary was a young teenage girl in a very small village of Nazareth, engaged to Joseph, a carpenter whose family had roots that tied him to the town of Bethlehem. She saw her future all lined up nicely for her until the angel Gabriel came to visit her. Gabriel announced to Mary that she was going to become the mother of the Messiah. It turned her and Joseph's plans upside down. If we dig further into the scripture reading of Gabriel's visit, Mary offers to us profound life lessons in deep faith and trust in God's plan for our lives. Mary recognized her lowly status in life, but accepted this unbelievable task, showing that God values humble hearts willing to be used. Her yes to God's will, even with its difficulties, is a model for surrounding our own plans and instead listening to what God wants us to do, knowing that God at times calls ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Despite fear, she trusted God's promise and journeyed into uncertainty, teaching us to trust God's guidance, even when the path isn't clear. When stepping into the unknown fear, there can be a natural response. It's, no, not me. But the angel Gabriel said to her, don't be afraid. And you know what? She replied with, here I am, God, your servant. Even though she didn't know what lay ahead for her, in her heart she knew that she was loved by God and God would be with her every step of the way. Mary also teaches us that it is okay to ask God questions when he calls us to do something. In fact, he welcomes the questions because he knows that he is always pulling us out of our comfort zone. When God shows us, calls us to do something, and we often are slower than Mary is in her response. She said right away, yes, here I am, God. That's not our first, second, or even third reaction. It usually goes like, can you wait a bit, Lord? Can I finish these things first? Can you come back and ask me again when I have everything in order? Mary did not ask God if she could give his proposal more time, if Gabriel could come back in a week and ask her again. She was ready to say yes that night. Can somebody get my glass of water there? I figure it's coming up. I remember before I started the course to become a licensed lay worship leader. Thank you. God nudged me many, many, many times. And I said, God, I'm already a church administrator at two churches, leading Sunday school, leading the vacation Bible schools every year. What more do you want from me? Well, we know now because 22 years later, I'm standing here still leading worship. When I finally said yes, I realized that God knew more about me than I knew about myself. Often, we don't feel ready because we feel unequipped, that we don't know enough. Our hesitation results from the idea that we have to rely on our own strength and abilities to follow God's plan, when in fact, we do not. He's going to provide everything that we need. We just have to trust him. So, what does Mary's courage mean for us? It is to be our inspiration when God presents us with an opportunity to respond. Mary demonstrated how to step up when God calls. She showed us the power of pure faith, a willingness to be the Lord's servant. I love this quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It says, "You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step." Faith means moving forward into the unknown with each small step revealing the next. It's about having the courage and believing things will unfold rather than needing to know all the answers up front. Mary's message and King's message for us this morning is a powerful call to action for Knox St. Paul's as a faith community, urging us to continue to see where our help is needed in our community. Projects that will help people have a chance at a better life. As we stay committed to our vision of helping build a city where no one journeys alone. We decided on that vision many years ago, it seems now. And when we had the visioning sessions with Reverend Peter Bartlett, we decided that yes, we still want to be that church helping build a city where no one journeys alone. We wanted to be that welcoming church, the inclusive church, the helping church. We decided that we wanted to be out there in the community, sometimes to the point that we can't stop you folks. Every year we have a Christmas project, and for several years I have tried to keep it to one project, but it seems that we always end up with two. That is the kind of church we are. I was sure this year we were going to keep it to one, providing money for the food hampers for the Children's Christmas Fund that they give out every year. Until the UCW meeting, and the lady said, "No, we still have to provide gifts for the seniors in the long-term care who have no one." And so the ladies took that on. So once again this Christmas, we had two projects to help others. We more than likely won't have an angel come down and ask us to join in a task. It's more likely to come in human form. But God still has his eye on us, saying, "Knox St. Paul's, I will guide you just as I have done in the past." Let us be like Mary, trusting in God, acting in faith, knowing that as we move forward, the subsequent steps will become clearer. Amen. We are now going to sing, and this one is from the resource package that we got for Advent and Christmas. "O Come, Take Heart." This is the time in the worship service when you folks can come up and take the mic and share with us where you've seen God at work during the week, or maybe just during this worship service. If you have something that you would love to share with us, please come up and share, because I know that we all want to hear. If no one has anything that they would like to say.
I do.
Yeah, just I have to finish my spiel. I guess we do have people to come up.
I think you know who I am. In case you're new, I'm Shirley. Hi. Carolyn, your service today and the things you've been saying remind me of something that I heard or read, I can't remember now which, a long time ago. Oliver Wendell Holmes said, "I'm part of all that I have met." And you know, when I look around me and see what I have met, I'm awfully glad I'm me. And I just wanted to say that. And we all should say that.
Hi everyone. My name is Sophie, and I wanted to share something that was put on my heart. I've been suffering with a concussion for almost a year, and I get to a point where I have to just be at home, and I can't even go down the stairs because it's too chaotic in my brain. I lose balance and whatever. The point of this is that it's on and off, and I take commitments, and I can't fulfill them because of this condition. But I realized that I was trying to do it my way. I was trying to control the situation, and it didn't really work out. And lately, in the last about week or so, a little more than a week, I've been letting go and letting God take the wheel. And I'm here today. And I realize that every morning when I wake up, I ask that thy will be done and not mine. Because God has a plan for me, and if I need or want to be of service to God, I need to listen to God and not do it Sophie's way, because obviously it's not been working too much. And I feel extremely blessed that I'm able to be in church today, to be among everyone, and I just wanted to share that. Thank you for listening.
I'm Lauren. Thank you, Carolyn, for that great service. I just was reminded that sort of in the the activist communities that I'm in, one of the things that comes up a lot is that joy is resistance, and that like creating joy goes against a lot of power structures that hold people down, and that in taking actions to make the world a better place and to create more joy for other people, even in really small ways, right, can just have such a big impact. And I think that, for me, is one of the most important things about joy. That's all.
This is the time in the worship service when we bring up the offering and the prayer stones, but we also, it's not just the monetary, it's all the things that people do for this church and for this community that we bring up as well. So let us bring up the offering. Holy One, this Advent season, we wait in joy.
And we give with joy.
Joy for all you have given us.
Joy because of your sacred promises.
Receive these generous offerings.
And use them to spread your joy throughout our world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Let us pray. Calling God, if you tap on my shoulder today, would my knees shake? Would my mind race? Would my voice waver? Or knowing the stories of all the faithful folks you called before, would I be ready? Would I be brave enough to follow? Would I hear your call and reply, let it be me according to your will? It is hard to know, but what I do trust is that you are a God who calls. You called Mary and Moses, Jeremiah and Peter. You have called ordinary people. Throughout time, you have called artists and activists, poets and prophets, teachers and healers, young and old. So as we move through this world, open our ears to hear your voice. As we move through this world, open our hearts to the invitations, the inspiration, and the nudges you place in our lives. As we move through this world, God, allow us to hear whatever call you have in store for us in this season. For no matter how big or how small, we trust that you are calling, inviting, and nudging. We pray for all those represented by the prayer stones that lay on the communion table. We pray for all those who are suffering, either physically, mentally, or spiritually. Those that are in the dark grips of grief, put your comforting arms around each one of them so that they know that you are there for them and willing to bear their pain for them. This morning especially, we send out our prayers for the Jewish community in Bondi Beach in Australia after the shootings there. And the families affected by the shootings at Brown University in Rhode Island. May you really be with those people this morning. We bring this prayer and all those laying silent in our hearts, too painful to speak out loud, to you, knowing that you will answer them in the way that is best for us and for those we pray for. This we do as we pray the prayer your Son Jesus taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Jesus, for you set my feet all free.
Go now, rejoicing in God our Savior, who has done and will continue to do great things. Receive God's blessing, feel God's favor, and share it with all those you meet along the way. Amen.
Yes, I do.